is the XR Motion Podcast with your host, Michael Steinberg.
Welcome to the podcast. This is where we talk about what's coming down the line in the motion design industry, and where we also focus on and talk about everything cool with VR, AR, XR, and the ever so ominous metaverse type stuff that's happening. Today we have with us, as I mentioned before, fantastic guest. It's Will Harvey, aka Revelio, and he is a 3D artist and motion designer. He has created motion graphics and visual content for many musicians, including Lil Nas X. I'm sweating over here. I'm a huge fan. Then we have Megan Thee Stallion, Lil Uzi Vert, City Girls, Shaq, and others. And for the past 3 years, he has created a piece of art every day, which if you haven't done every day's, that's mind-blowing, and has created VJ loops for people to download and use freely under the Creative Commons. So you guys go ahead, check that stuff out ASAP. You can do that by looking at his social media at Revelio_stuff. That's Revelio_stuff. And then I believe, too, we've got RevelioStuff.com. So check that out. Anyway, with that being said, welcome to the podcast, man. How's it going?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, for anybody listening, I just want to make sure that, A, they know how amazing you are. Definitely go check out his stuff. And then also, for anybody who hasn't seen your stuff before, do you mind just giving a brief introduction about who you are and what exactly you do?
Yeah, so I'm a motion designer and digital artist, mostly in the 3D world. I use Cinema 4D and Adobe software to create the everydays and any sort of work I do, whether it be album art, visuals for artists. And I do a lot of stuff in the musical world, which include the album covers and mostly VJ loops for these rappers or EDM artists or whatever it is.
I love your VJ loops too. I've seen people like you, Beeple, a lot of, you know, David Arya doing the VJ loops. I've always been curious, what do you feel like makes it a VJ loop and makes them successful to your guys' caliber?
Well, I have to think about it a lot when I create it. I mean, sometimes what'll happen, I'll create an everyday, I'll be like, whoa, okay, what if this moves? What if this does this thing? And then it's like, oh, shoot, I can make this into a VJ loop. And then I'll just go from there. As long as it loops and it's sort of generic, like not generic, but accessible to all, isn't just to one type of thing, people will gravitate towards it. I think what made Beeple's what everybody wanted to go for was because it was free, one. And two, because he made a lot that were made for many different types of vibes or artists. I mean, a lot of the people remember the tech sci-fi look of his stuff. And that's more of the recent stuff. I mean, he made a lot of stuff back then that was sketch and tune look, you know, it had that sketch look. And then a lot of EDM artists would pick up that sci-fi look because, I mean, EDM is electronic, goes together pretty well. They loop. Throw it on a big screen behind the DJ doing his thing, and you got yourself a good looking loop to go with the song. But then you got Aryev, who I think is more abstract, but also it vibes with the music as well. Pretty relatively, like, they work together in tandem. I mean, you've probably seen some of his stuff recently as NFTs, the mirror box.
Yeah. Thing. Oh, yeah. I even tried replicating that myself. Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's got a tutorial. Go check it out. He's a good buddy of mine. Love his stuff. Go check out his tutorial on the mirror box stuff. It is insane. It's something that I was just like mind blown about it. But even he was like, yeah, I tried to make it pretty close to what the music was to try to get that vibe across. And then there's like other artists as well, like Ness Graphics. I don't know if you know.
Yeah.
Alex Ness. Dope work, amazing work. And his was like, gotta make it with the music, and sort of the same thing as Aryev, but his had a lot of story to it. So like his have a lot of creative narrative story to it. And there's a bunch out there, but I think what makes a good VJ loop is if it's loopable, completely seamless, and if it can be used for a wide variety of different scenarios.
I feel like concert visuals, especially now with video and TikToks and all these things, I'm just shocked at how advanced performers have gotten their visual effects recently, like at these concerts and these festivals. I mean, it is just getting cooler and cooler by the day, like the lasers, the video projection quality, like going into the 8K space, even doing like video mapping on different objects. It's just, and they're using drones now too, like some of the ones you see in the sky.
I've got a buddy of mine, he does lasers for like Excision and Zed and things like that. And he was talking to me one time, we were on the phone. He was like, dude, I've been messing with these drones. They go up in the sky and they have the freaking like thing on and they show like your name. And I'm like, whoa, that's insane. Cause they're working on that stuff. And it's just crazy. I mean, it's crazy to think that back in 2007, when Daft Punk started gathering like all this equipment and like video screen stuff to show for their, I think it was their live concert tour thing. And that was like the biggest thing at the time because no one had seen it before. But when you look at it now, you're like, Jesus, that's like, that's like pixels on a thing. Like it looked like just these assortment of designs and stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's gotten to the point where like Excision, his entire show is based off of the visual. He handpicks these artists to go in and like make visuals specifically for a song.
It's so awesome.
It's crazy. And he puts this entire performance together from start to finish based off of those visuals. And it's crazy to think that that's like that's the thing now, that it runs in tandem. The visual and the audio go together.
I would love for there someday to be almost a way where people are able to produce visuals like on the fly, kind of almost like in a metaverse type thing. It's almost like an instrument, you know what I mean? Like I've seen little things, but have you seen anything like that? I see you kind of.
I think that somebody was trying to do something like, I can't talk a lot about it, yeah. But it's, but I've been trying to do that personally, going into Unreal and basically creating on the fly, like changes throughout the set or something.
Mm.
So I would go in there, throw a cube, let's just say it's a cube, throw a cube in there. And then on the fly, I can go in with controllers and just like up the scale of the cube. And just like in the middle of a thing, you can have the cube. And I mean, Deadmau5 does it. Deadmau5 does it live. Like all the visuals are live, including the graphics on there. He can change the thing and do that live. He's created his own program through that. So, but I'm pretty sure there's a few people that are trying to get into that space. It's just hard to do with the limitations of technology at the moment.
Yeah.
But it's coming.
Oh man, I'm just so excited about the future. The future's so dope. It's going to be.
Yeah, it sounds dope. I want to be part of it if that's the case. If you're getting into that, I recommend, I don't know if you know who Jonathan Wimbush is.
Oh, of course. Yeah. He's great.
Amazing. What up? Go check out his site because he's got a few things on there for that specifically in Unreal, I think. Plus, I think he's released a few things based off of that.
Love Jonathan Wimbush. And I think, yeah, he's definitely one of the, dare I say only, I mean, I have seen other tutorials, but he's just consistently putting out amazing content for people in Cinema 4D who want to get into Unreal Engine. And they're just, each one is just such a great episode. Every time he posts, I'm just all about it. He's fantastic artist and definitely leading us into that little crossover bridge, which is really exciting. Well, cool. Well, let's jump into, I even want to ask about the everydays. What is it like doing everydays for 3 years? Just tell me, where was your head at when you started? Just maybe give us a little journey, if you will, like a story about this journey to how you got to where you are now.
I don't know. It's weird. It's hard to explain. It's almost like I see it as like an athlete's mind towards it, or like a bodybuilder's mind towards it. Like if I miss a day, oh, it's not good because I can't miss a day. Got to get them games. You know? It's that type of thing. It's that mentality. I think that's the mentality that went into it when I started, was like, I want to get better at a program. How do you do that? You use the program. What's a faster way of doing it? Doing it every day. And that's for anything, whether it be video games, whether it be drawing, painting. I mean, even to the minute things of just using a tool within the program, or with using like a plugin. I mean, even with Octane, the only way to learn it, you'll learn it every day. That's how you get better at it. So I started off not knowing where I wanted to go with this whole 3D thing and this whole visual thing. And it wasn't until Mike Winkleman told me, hey, dude, do the everydays. Like, what are you doing? Just go do the everydays. I was like, okay, why not? And so I started doing it and just kept going ever since.
It is kind of like an athlete's mindset. And it is funny how some people are just so amazed. Like, you can do it every day. It's like, when people go to the gym every day, I feel like that's a lot harder. Like, yeah. I can't go to the gym every day. But yeah, it's definitely, I think it's the habit is the hard part. And dare I say, like, almost maybe the first month was the hardest part. And then after a month, it was kind of like, oh, I'm going to be doing this for a while.
Yeah, it's like a marriage. Like, I don't know, like, if you gotta, once you're married to it, keep going. Like, you know, if there's a bump in the road, figure out what the problem is, fix it, find a solution to it, and then keep going. And the thing is, too, there's always good that comes out of it, whether you don't think it or not. There's always good that comes out of it. You realize something at the end of the day. Made a new piece of art. That's good. Added another thing to your portfolio. Learned a new program. Another thing added. At the end of 100 days, you could see the progress from day one to day 100. And it's a huge difference.
Huge. Huge.
You finally see at the end of the road, that's why I did it. And it makes you feel a certain way towards it at the end of the time you decide to do it. What's crazy, I do want to say this. An entire year is good. That's a really good thing. A lot of people don't make it past day 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's amazing that that's amazing that you made it a year. So even though I've been 3 years, I still feel like I can keep going. But I tell people, like, you can make it, you can do it at least a month. Try a month, you can do it. After the month, if you want to keep going, hey, keep going. After a year, keep going. I mean, if you want to even keep going, like, another 2 years, whatever, like, just, you can try. But a year is really good. That's amazing.
Yeah, anybody that is trying to get into 3D, I couldn't not recommend it anymore. You're never going to do 100 days and be like, man, I think I got worse.
It's just... Well, I do recommend, don't just do it and then don't post or don't show anybody. Join a Discord server or something and post your stuff on there. That way people can give you feedback. And don't just take the feedback like, oh, this is amazing, or oh, this is shit. Ask people to literally critique your stuff. Like, be like, hey, look, composition is really good. You might need to work on color. You might need to work on lighting. You might need to work on compositing or whatever that is. And take that and then apply it to the next day or apply it to the next few days or whatever you want to do. Or just, if you're brave enough or if you want to do it, post it to the world. Show everybody on Instagram, Twitter, whatever. And just let people see it. You don't need to have it sitting on your hard drive. Show as many people as you can.
And it puts a little tiny little pressure on you because you know some people might see it. And also, it forces you to have to say, I'm finished. I started and I finished, not like it kind of waved away.
Well, also, it holds you accountable. Like, the thing is, too, I post to the internet because it holds me accountable. It's shown to everybody. So if somebody goes to your page and is like, wait, where's this day? What's going on, dude? Come on, man. Where's the everyday? It keeps you accountable of your own progress.
So did you have at any point where your everydays, maybe any of them like catch on fire or maybe like get a lot more views than the ones compared to your other ones? Or
I do say post to the internet to like show everybody, but I don't look at the likes. I don't look at the comments, but I take feedback from DMs and things like that. And it was one day, it was like a few everydays ago, a family member was like, dude, man, look at this. And I was like, what? They sent me the link to the everyday and I looked and I was like, oh shit. Okay. That's like 20,000 likes like in like 2 days. I was like, whoa. Okay. That's cool, I guess. And then they were like, dude, you like grew from like this amount of followers to this amount. I was like, oh, okay. And I wouldn't have known. Like, I don't look at it. I don't ever look at my followers anymore. I just post and then look at a few friends' posts, like them, and then get off Instagram. Like, I don't even stay on there at all, or on Twitter.
Yeah, that's smart. Do you like Twitter more? Or, I mean, I know you don't really use it, but do you have a preference between Twitter and Instagram?
I mean, I use Twitter very, like, I'll post the every day and then hop the fuck off. And it, I think it's because, like, if you get on Twitter, I mean, this is for any social media in general. If you get on there, it's just all people speaking their mind about just anything. And I'm just like, man, I'm here to, like, post an art thing and then get the fuck off. Like, I'm not here for a lot of things. If you want to show me a cool post about a dog, cool. Show me the post about a dog. Or if you want me to see your family photos, cool. I'll take a look. But I'm not there for the entire conversation. Like, I just want to get on and get off. Stay in reality a little bit. Oh, but I guess answer the question. Instagram a little bit more, just because that's where I started. I get on Instagram, post on there, and then go post to Twitter. It's rarely that you'll ever see me post to Twitter first. I'll be on Instagram first. And if it is, it's because Instagram's crashed or some shit.
Well, for the younger audience, dare I ask, thoughts on TikTok? Have you been trying to dive into that at all? Or
I am a failure at TikTok, man. I don't even, like, I get on there. That thing is a rabbit hole, literally. It's a well. Like, you fall down it, you better hurry up and not stay in there too long, because it's going to be hard to get out. Like,
yep.
I swear, they've mastered the art of swiping. I think they saw Tinder and was like, oh, fuck, we could turn this into a social media. Like, they were just, they've got it down pat. It's easy. You just go up and you just see whatever. But I think it's always evolving. So if you can try to get in there and be that first one to do something, you've got it down pat. I think a good example of it was Ren from Corridor Digital. You know who I'm talking
about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He posted a video of his most satisfying video thing, and it was like the puzzle piece sliding into the thing and falling down. And that's like the third highest viewed video or liked video on TikTok.
Wow, I did not know that.
And it's like, what the fuck? And it's because he finally saw the pinhole, threw that bitch through there, and it just like stuck.
Yeah.
Like, it just went in there, you know? So, and like, it just, it worked. And so, like, I think if you find that pinhole, get that right video in there, it'll just click with people. Whether it be 3D, whether it be you're dancing or some shit, it's there. You just got to find it. I don't think I've locked into that just yet, or I think I just got to experiment with it more and figure it out. But yeah, these younger people know what's up. Like, I got into TikTok late. I was one of the few people that was like, what is, it's a dancing app? Like, I don't, will this stuff work? I mean, I'll join, but, and then I got stuck in the rabbit hole, swiping away.
That thing is just, it learns who you are as a person and then force feeds what you want to see in your face. And it's not actually what I even want to see.
No.
I keep wanting to see just 3D stuff, and maybe the first three or four are really cool. But then I'm like, oh shit, I'm stuck now. Like, now I'm in this cycle, yeah. You know?
Oh, it's the funniest thing, because like, they now have added the little TikTok ad that says, hold up, you've been swiping a little bit too long. And then you're just like, fuck that, I'm gonna keep going. Like,
I'm gonna swipe that warning away.
Keep going. Every time I will see that same guy, he's like, hold on, you've been swiping a little bit too long. I'm like, and I think I need to actually like listen, because I think I'm on there for like an hour if I get on there.
I'm so surprised they haven't actually had an app that will auto lock. Like, I've tried downloading maybe a dozen different apps that will just automatically lock me out of all social media apps for either a certain amount of time or after a certain amount of usage. And all of them have the easiest like ways to get around it. You just press OK, just gives you a little warning. But I would just love one that forces you out.
I mean, I think it's the same thing as like going to work out. You need to pressure yourself into not doing it and then keep on that like grind of not doing it. Like, it's an addiction. Like, I think everybody has the same addiction at one point, unless you're just completely off the internet or off whatever. Like, even like my grandma has the same addiction. Like, she gets on Facebook every day. You know? Yeah. Like, everybody's got it. And I think everybody's just wanting that same rush of dopamine.
Yeah, dopamine rush. Yeah.
Like, everybody wants it. Like, it feels good to just keep swiping. But I think when you pressure yourself to not do it, that's when it'll start to change.
Yeah. Going back to your general workflow, what programs do you gravitate towards using? I know you said Cinema 4D and Octane. Is there any other programs? And then also, why do you use those over maybe Blender or Redshift or Maya or anything like that?
I did start out in Blender, so I'm not like a Blender hater. It's just at the time when I started Blender, it was just so hard to get around not only the UI, but the tools, and it was just super confusing. So when I decided to use Cinema 4D, like their free license or whatever, I decided to, or the light, I think it's C4D Light or
something. Yeah, on After Effects.
Yeah, I wanted to go use it. And I was like, oh, this is a lot easier. Because it's just, it's the equivalent of just telling you what to do. Like, hey, you want to clone something, there's a cloner. Like, it literally is called cloner. Like, you just drop it down and it'll clone whatever you want to clone. So it's just, it was a lot simpler to use. That's why I migrated. But anybody that's starting out now, I will tell them, do you want to spend money or not? Which one do you want to? And they're like, well, I don't want to spend money. Go to Blender. Like, just use Blender. It's now super easy. It's easier to use than it was back then. Not only that, it has an amazing renderer within it. Eevee or Cycles, you can choose whichever. Like, Eevee's pretty freaking quick. You're not going to be disappointed with it. Plus, you can get Octane for free with Blender.
Really?
You can go on their website, download Octane for free on there, and just use it in Blender. Like, I know there's an artist that uses Blender, and he also uses Octane with it. And it's for, you know, and it's pretty good. It's good. It's like you're getting the same quality from someone who uses Cinema 4D. I think it's just the person that uses it is the only thing holding them back. And what's great about Blender 2, it's good all around when you're starting out to use that. It's got compositing features in it. It's got layering and things like that for like post effects. There's no excuse to not create when it's free and it's all online. But if you're wanting to get into like more industry standard stuff, Cinema 4D, I love. It's easy to use. It's simple, not hard to get used to. I use Octane just because of the speed and because that's what a lot of the people in the industry use when it comes to visuals or things like that. But like if you're wanting to get into VFX or stuff that like, I don't know if you know who Artie Benchude is or ABC.
Sounds super familiar.
That company uses like Redshift and they do amazing work. I think if you're wanting to get the more detailed looking renders, like close-ups of plants and details and textures and things like that, Redshift is a way to go. I know people who could do it in Octane, but you just have more setting capabilities within Redshift. I mean, you can click like 20 million buttons to get the look that you want. Whereas Octane, it's like ready to go when you open the program. You don't have to mess with a lot. It's right there. Yeah, and then there's like V-Ray and Corona and Arnold. Arnold is amazing. Arnold has an amazing sketch and tune sketch look that renders pretty quickly. And I think it's like, it's really good if you're wanting to get into that. I recommend that too. But like, yeah, I just use Cinema 4D Octane, Adobe, Photoshop, Premiere for editing, and After Effects for compositing. Yeah, I'm trying to get into DaVinci Resolve. That's a goal right now, is just to use that just for color grading, but I just haven't been able to lately. It's free too. DaVinci Resolve is free. I didn't realize, I was on a Discord call with someone like a few months ago and they were like, dude, yeah, DaVinci Resolve, it's free now. I'm like, what? That's industry standard software.
Yeah.
It's now available to the public.
Like we had to hire DaVinci artists back in the day because they even just had the program. So that was like, when we would freelance out color correction. That's wild. That's wild. I'm definitely downloading that after this.
Now, dude, take it with a grain of salt. There might be like some add-on thing that you have to buy with it. But like,
big watermark over it.
Yeah, or some shit. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's free. The last time I looked. So I would go check it out, though.
Even if it's just getting the hang of it, just so you have, you know, I would love just to even get familiar with the software in general.
I think like, if there's any sort of thing that's free, like Maya, go download Maya for free. I mean, they have a free thing for like 30 days or something. Sit there for 30 days and make an every day. Even if it has the watermark on it, like just do it. And then after 30 days, if you want to like not have the watermark, then you can buy it, or if you don't like it and you want to just go to Blender, go to Blender. I feel like now all roads lead to Blender because everybody's just wanting free stuff, man.
Yeah, I know. It is tough. Like, I mean, I've had a few Blender artists on that have been like, they make super convincing cases. And I've actually, you know, I've recently downloaded it and I'm going back and forth. And then I get on Cinema 4D and I'm like, you know what? Why am I even trying Blender? And then I get billed for $100. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm doing Blender. And then after a week, I'm like, all right, I'm going back to Cinema 4D. I paid for it.
Yeah, I think like I can do things pretty quick in Cinema 4D just because I've known it. Not only that, like, it's super simple. It's a button click. It's right there. Whereas in Blender, I have to dig through all this garbage just to get to what I want. And I'm pretty sure there's UI changes that you can do on your own, but it's like, I don't want to sit there for an hour or two just to do that. Like, but I've seen amazing stuff come out of Blender, stuff that would like put me on my ass, just like, what the fuck? Like, just crazy stuff. So there's just no excuse nowadays.
Yeah, the tools are definitely out there no matter what you want to do. Well, so when it comes to your dailies, because I'm a big fan, and I just want to say, like, after my 100 days, I felt like there were days where I was killing it and days that I weren't. Now, you know, I've talked to a few other people that have done dailies. Do you have, and this is always a fun question that I'm sure you get all the time, how do you come up with your ideas? I can already see your face like, God damn it.
I get asked that a lot just because that's the main thing. Like, how do you come up with it? It's like, I think, and this is for anything, you can get inspired by anything. George Lucas was inspired by Westerns and sci-fi things to create Star Wars. That's how he came up with Star Wars. And I'm pretty sure that story of the kid meeting up with the elder to then go fight the bad guy has been used 20 million times before. And even he said, I kind of came up with the story after watching this Japanese film. I think it was Japanese. It was or something like that. And that's how I created Star Wars. So, I mean, everything comes from everything. You know, it's not like one day it was like, oh, I just came up with an idea. I'm going to make the sculpture of a Greek god. And it's like, they have had time to be able to get to that point. And they were inspired by the previous generation. That's just how it always is. So like, I'll go on Pinterest or I'll go on Instagram and be like, well, let's find some inspiration today. And I'll go through and I'll be like, oh yeah, this landscape of the Rocky Mountains looks pretty dope. I want to try to incorporate that with some sort of sci-fi element. So let's go and let's look at some sci-fi. Let's like go through and look at some sci-fi ships. Go through, I'll be like, okay, the Death Star looks pretty dope. It's simple, it's a sphere, and it's got a bunch of greebles on it. Let's go through and let's try to see what we can do. And then I'll just take stuff, I'll kit bash, have some giant thing shooting out of it, and then I'll tell a story through it all, like maybe this part is destroyed. Maybe this part is just hanging off by a limb, and just keep going throughout the entire thing until an image is created. So it's not like I'm just like laying there just like, okay, let the muse come to me. May God kiss my forehead and then I create an art. You know, it's not like that. It's you go in, try to find what makes it interesting, what makes things interesting, and then apply it to your own work.
I'm going to ask just kind of personal question because I love your colors are great. Like, you really do a great job with your color theory. Do you like do a lot of additional editing in Photoshop, bring it into like other programs? Or do you feel like you usually just as soon as it comes out the render that it's pretty good to go?
I know very rarely people that just go, yeah, this looks good coming raw out of the engine. Like, the only people that I know that do that are David Aryev. But David Aryev, I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure he was like a director of photography for like films.
Oh, interesting.
So he knows his shit when it comes to camera work and LUTs within like that's his bread and butter. So he knows what's up. But anybody else, I'm like, they all use post effects to be able to achieve whatever they need. Like, they'll take it from Cinema 4D straight to DaVinci Resolve, or they'll just take it from there to After Effects, add the compositing, and then take it to DaVinci Resolve. Or if it's a still image, take it to Photoshop, throw it in Camera Raw filter, and do whatever they need to do in there. So I don't think everything can be achieved completely within the raw render. And I think if you want to like take it up a notch, you can do it straight in like Photoshop or something. Like,
I mean, that's what I always did. There's only been like two people that I feel like have said that they primarily go right off the render. And that's funny enough, their similarities were that they first learned in 3D and then they learned After Effects later. So they kind of already learned how to make it look how they want to look in, you know, Cinema 4D. And they're like, I don't even like After Effects. I'm like, no one does, but you have to bring it in.
Yeah.
Or Photoshop. They're like, yeah, I just know Cinema 4D. I'm like, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's impressive when you can do that, because like getting everything you want in camera is pretty hard to do. And I respect anybody that can do that, because I can't do it.
I was talking to one guy at Render Times, and he had a fade, and I was like, oh, it was a very interesting fade. He's like, yeah, I just had the light source go off. I was like, oh, you didn't just fade it to black in After Effects? He's like, no, I rendered out the light going down. I was like, that is hilarious.
It seemed like a lot of work for something, but I'm pretty sure in the long run, that's going to look a lot better than just fading it to black. Like, it gives it a good look.
Yeah, it does. Anything you can make more natural versus like artificially going through and doing things in post is better. Well, so I don't know. I'm curious just about your professional life into being in the field. What's that been like for you? Are you doing freelance or are you full time?
So I was doing freelance. Now I'm at a studio. So I'm not in the freelance life anymore. I've known people that are like, man, freelance is the way to go. And I've also known people that are like, man, I can't do freelance because it's just taxing on me. So I got to go back to studio life. And it's like, just choose what makes you happy. Like, if you want to be a freelance artist, go ahead, man. If you want to make the business deals by yourself and do your own thing, go right ahead. Be the Lone Ranger out there doing your thing. If you want to go and work for the man, have at it. Do your thing. It's stable. It's scheduled thing. You don't have to worry about the business side of things. You just create and for the person, and then you leave and go back home. I think people make it difficult when they think about it. Like, I don't know what to do. It's like, just do one, go for it, see what happens. You want out, you can get out.
I like that a lot. That's probably one of the better responses versus saying what you do and don't like about it. Honestly, try it out. I think that's, you can always go back. And I think the more risks you take and the more things you try, the better you're going to be off in the future.
Oh, I mean, be smart about it. Like, I mean, don't go into freelance life like, hey, I got $3 in my bank account and I'm about to do, like,
I'm quitting my job. I'm moving down.
Yeah. Like, be careful. Like, do think. Like, don't just jump into it thinking that it's all going to be daisies and roses. Like, just have some thought before jumping into it and then go do it. Prepare for the worst and then hope for the best.
Yeah, absolutely. With a smart mind, and for anybody doing full time, always get a few clients before switching. That's the key.
Man, you'd be surprised. Like, there are some people that'll jump in there without anybody. And I'm like, are you just like going to post to LinkedIn and hope somebody bites? Like, give it a little bit and then go into it.
Yeah, having a steady clientele is definitely going to be the number one thing that holds you up through the transition.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's go a little bit into the future of the industry. Where do you see the industry being in 5 to 10 years?
I don't even know. To be honest, I'm pretty sure like 5 or 10 years ago, I was like, oh, we're going to be like jacked into the matrix, you know? And now, like, I mean, we're at our computers facing a screen all day. I don't know. I see like there's going to be a lot of things changing when it comes to AR, VR. Like, I think those are going to be huge coming up. I'm pretty sure I said that 10 years ago, but like,
yeah, right.
I think it'll be more implemented. 10 years ago, that was like the big deal because everybody was like, oh, we got this thing in our pocket. It's called an iPhone. Now we can like do AR or whatever. And it was just like kind of poorly implemented. It was kind of a gimmick. It wasn't a big deal to do at the time just because it just didn't make any sense. But now, considering the metaverse is upcoming and it's going to be even bigger and better and it's going to be smarter and things like that, I think it's going to be more involved coming up, especially with people's art as well. I mean, they're going to need people to build the worlds out. Then they're going to need people to model the avatars. They're going to need people to do all the stuff artistically for that. So I think it's going to be something that's going to be a lot more implemented in our field. There's that. I mean, NFTs are probably going to change that too. I mean, they already are. You buy an NFT, you can use it in the metaverse. I mean, that's what Deadmau5 was doing with the little mouse heads. So like you buy that NFT, go into the metaverse, and you got yourself a little Deadmau5 head on your character. So that's coming up with NFTs. I think it's just going to allow for a lot more people to create, not only for themselves, but for other people as well.
I think we're almost pretty much on the same boat with that. I mean, yeah, I definitely see the future definitely going more into like a VR, AR route, or maybe not more, but there being a lot more of that, where maybe the 2D imaging for the people that still don't want to be in that, it will also expand a lot more. But yeah, it's cool. You're just seeing so many more 3D artists just getting involved in this day and age. And like you were saying, you need artists to build these worlds. And that's kind of why I stopped my dailies a little bit, is because I started getting into like virtual reality and I realized, damn, you could build something really cool in front of you. But guess what? As soon as you turn your head, there's all this other shit you got to build. You know, it's like, it's so much.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's just crazy to think about. I think people, and I also do think people are kind of a little bit overhyping it a little bit. They're saying that it's this revolutionary thing. It's like, technically, it's a video game, but we're using our real world currency to buy things within the video game. I mean, we're already doing that with Fortnite. We're already doing that with, so it's just another level of it. And I think it will add something to it. Like, I mean, if you buy an NFT, like an art piece, you could throw it up in the metaverse in your metaverse house or your real estate and just have that on display. Or you can do that in the real world. I don't know. Like you can put it on a screen. I mean, it's whatever. I think it's just going to be like, if you want to boot out, just like you would with video games, if you want to boot out of reality for like a few hours, you put on the goggles and go into the space. Like it's just another form of entertainment, you know, to be able to do something like that. But I think people are like, oh man, it's the future. This is like the craziest thing. Like, I don't.
Yeah. I haven't made the TikTok yet, but I wanted to make one about how what Mark Zuckerberg showed. Did you see like the VR Quest conference that he did where he's like floating in space upside down playing cards on a ship?
Was that the one where he was in that room and he was like his VR self or something? Yeah. And he was like, hey, this is the metaverse. Yeah, was that the one you're talking about? Yeah, I thought it was so goofy and so cringy, but it was like, that's the metaverse.
And we're not even close to that. Like, I'm like, why are you put? You might as well have put on Avatar and been like, oh, look at this. Like, this is the future. It's like, we're not even close to that. And then you look at Horizon and it's like, these people don't even have pants. They don't have legs. The difference is outstanding. The overhyping of what's actually currently here versus what's expected, it's a little bit much, in my opinion.
I think people want the hype for it because the more hype, the more people you can get involved. And that's what they're trying. I mean, it's key marketing right there. I mean, the marketing team is doing what they were told to do, which was overhype it to get people to get on board. I mean, that's the point of a marketing team. They're pitching it as this revolutionary thing that's just going to look amazing. And it's like, it's going to be more like VR chat where everything looks like a polygon and then it'll get to real looking stuff in the future. We still have another like 10 years before we start looking like the Matrix. We're not there completely, but I've seen some amazing stuff within the metaverse. Like people have changed that. And instead of going completely realistic, they're going very stylized. So they're making these cartoony looking places with avatars that look cartoony or look ridiculous. And they build into that. They fall into that category because that's the limitation at the moment. And it looks good. Like it looks really good. Like if I could look like Mickey Mouse jumping around, doing some crazy ass shit flying through the air, like that's pretty cool. But you know, I'm not going to look like Henry Cavill Superman flying around and it actually look good. You know, it's like, it'll look weird seeing this polygonal thing just flying across the space. It just doesn't look right.
Yeah.
So, we still have time.
Have you tried yet uploading anything in VR and just seeing it, or doing any VR modeling apps yet? Or
I created like a model and I wanted to do that. And if I had a VR headset to be able to do that, I would. I've been in VR. It looks pretty freaking cool. I mean, considering that your avatar is there, you have the joysticks, you have the freaking goggles on, you can see everything. It's like, it's pretty cool to do. It's just, I don't think, it's weird because I'm myself and everybody's different, but I feel like I'm the testing ground. Like if I buy a VR headset, I'm pretty sure a lot of other people can buy a VR headset, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm very conscious of the financial part of it. So when the time comes that I'm like, man, I can get a VR set, like then that's when everybody's going to start getting it. So when it becomes accessible to the average person, that's when I think things are going to really change. And it's getting very close. I mean, you got headsets that cost as much as the Xbox that's sitting on my desk right here. It's getting to that point. And when that becomes even more easily accessible and everybody can use it, that's when everything's going to start to change. You're going to see people wanting their avatars changed. That's when you'll have people wanting to model stuff. And that's where I could come in, like building a character, give it to them. And then that'll be like somebody's freelance job for a long time, is their sole thing is to build characters just for VR.
It's a good point. Like even what you said, when it becomes accessible to the general masses, and I think you're kind of right, even though the price point is super good, I also want to maybe throw onto there that when there's an actual necessity for it. Right now we're kind of in this thing where pretty much feels like it's for gamers, and they're trying to build in the social aspect, but until there's something where it's like, oh, this is definitely a lot easier to just throw on a headset and do this real quick with my hands versus the keyboard, I think that might maybe also play like another big play into what will get the masses into it.
I mean, I think you're right, they're just trying to make it socially a thing where it's like, if you have it, oh, it's like you can look good, you make your character look good. They're basically making it social media 2.0 or 3.0 or whatever version it is. I think in the future that's what it's going to be too, is it's going to be somewhere where you can basically show off your clout. You don't have to go out to the Met Gala and show off your fancy golden whatever the hell, you know. You can go on the VR space and show it off. I'm pretty sure that's what they're going to do for the Met Gala. They're just going to have it in VR now, or AR or whatever, and they're going to have some dude pull up on the carpet, and instead of having a real suit or something, they're going to have a VR AR suit on, and you're going to have to view it through a monitor that's like above them to even see what they're wearing. That's what, I don't know if you know who Don Allen is. He's a VR AR artist. His main thing is VR AR, so he'll make models for Snapchat filters. I think he did one recently with the Iron Spider arms.
Right. I think I've seen,
Yeah, he did that thing and it's behind his back. And then when he turns around, you can see the actual thing on his back, and it actually like cuts it out and uses perspective to be able to achieve that. And I'm pretty sure in the next upcoming years, they're going to start using that same stuff to be able to do it for like the Met Gala. So then you'll see some guy in a golden suit or some girl in the beautiful dress with like this magical thing or whatever, but you'll have to see it through a screen or wear VR goggles.
Yeah, I had Piper ZY on. She's kind of just blew up in the last 2 weeks on TikTok. She just did like augmented reality nail polish, where it looks like you can go into your fingernail and it looks like there's a city on your fingernail. And she's doing a lot of really high detailed augmented reality clothing things. But yeah, I mean, I totally could see people just like, you're walking through and people are like buying it, which sounds like a cha-ching for our industry, which is
good. Oh yeah, no, Don Allen, he'll be making a bank through that. That dude, I'm pretty sure, he makes amazing stuff. I'm pretty sure when that time comes, Kanye will hit him up like, yo, hey, make me my suit. I gotta go on the red carpet. I gotta show off this cool thing. And he'll have everybody, the paparazzi and all these visitors, put on these goggles and he'll come out there with a cool AR suit. I'm pretty sure it'll come to that point, and I'm going to be excited for that.
Right. And then maybe what if you have the 2004 Prius, but then people put the goggles on, you're in a Lamborghini. Now look who's flying.
I mean, yeah, it'll get to that point. It'll definitely get to that point. So,
so what do you think about, I always ask this, what is your views on NFTs?
I've put a few NFTs out there, video and stills. I think there's like two videos out there that were specifically made for the as an NFT. And then the rest are like my everydays. Yeah, so I've gotten into the NFT world. I started right after Beeple released his first collection. And I was excited to do it because I wanted to see what the technology would do. Like what was it about? I was still like a young buck in the into that. So like I didn't know what was to come. I wanted to try it out and see what would happen. It's hard to like come up with an answer for what do you think of NFTs, because I think NFTs are also really good and life-changing. It's a new, not a new medium, but a new form of showing and showcasing art and buying art and all of that. But it can also be very saturated. Like, I mean, right now you can see with all these new collectible things, it can get saturated and get lost. You have to dig through the forest just to find what you're wanting to buy or like what you're wanting to look at. I've been hit up in the DMs by these bots that are like, buy my new bored elephant crap, buy my party apes, buy my like dangerous lions. And I'm like, what is this? What is going on? And then I'll look, I'm like, this isn't even, it's just these people are trying to get on a cash, like they're trying to get cash quick. And I think like in that sense, when these people are trying to buy these bored apes, it's cool that you're wanting the bored ape, but it's like, I don't know if I want to get the bored ape. One, it's too much money. And two, like, I'm not the type of person that's like, I want to buy a collectible. Those things rise and drop all the time. I mean, you never know what's going to happen to it. I mean, you can invest in a, what was that one? The Mechaverse or the Mecha things. And then like what happened, it just dropped off. Like it did not do well at all. You never know. But like I would buy an art piece that somebody made as an NFT. Because I see value in it, not only just like, oh, the value could go up depending on if this artist creates more art, or they could sell a piece of art to somebody famous. Beyonce buys their art and it could make the value of the art that I bought rise up. But also I will actually enjoy that piece being on my wall or being on my screensaver or being on an album with all my family pictures on a slideshow or some shit. It's like I would enjoy seeing that. And not just having, oh, my profile picture on Instagram is a picture of a pixelated ape.
Yeah. And I think it's cool, too. I think one of the biggest things that has flipped my leaf on NFTs a little bit is that I think it's cool just to have, like, you supported an artist and you have a picture to prove that. Like, you have documentation saying you supported that.
It's supposed to make artists get their work out there and have people buy it. You know, I mean, that it gives value, currency value towards somebody's work.
Yeah. Well, I have two questions for you. Just going back to the 3D things here and we'll wrap it up here. Do you have any favorite plugins or software that you're using right now that's new?
When it comes to like favorite software, like Cinema 4D, that's always going to be the go-to plugins. I don't know. I think like a new, I guess it's not a plugin, but a new software that I'm really enjoying is Embergen. That is, it's real-time Fire VDB. That's insane. Before you'd have to use Turbulence or you'd have to go into Houdini and then bake it and then see it. Like now we can see it real-time. That's insane. And I've been trying to get into it more, trying to learn it more. I think the issue though with that is I don't think they need to make it its own software. It needs to be a plug-in added into Cinema 4D. Or Blender. If they can get that connection, oh, you've won. You've beat Turbulence. You've beat Houdini. You've beat, like, that's insane. I mean, you're talking about having a real-time Fire effects in Cinema 4. Like, that's crazy. That's unheard of.
Yeah, that just makes the program 100 times better.
Oh, yeah.
That sells me. I mean, the amount of times I've gone in and had to paint in Fire or any kind of effects, smoke, if that could actually just be real where the flames are bouncing off the building or coming out the windows. Oh, man, that would be so sick. I would love that.
It would just be a lot better than having to sit there and wait an hour for your freaking simulation and then being like, crap, I didn't add this into the... It's like, you do it real time. Like, it's right there. And I'm pretty sure at a certain point it's going to get to that, but we just got to wait.
Well, I guess last question here. Do you have any pocket advice you could share just through your history of being in the field? Maybe just like a quick sentence or two sentences or just something where you're like, this was the one thing that I learned that I would like to share.
Man, I mean, it can get as simple as always save, always press save. Like, what do you do? Like, what are you doing? Just press save. But it can also be as complicated as always take risks, always show your work, never hold back. you know what, I'll make this the pocket advice. Always show your work. Always just go in and throw it out there. Never not do that. It's kind of sad to see people's work not being shown to the world. And their main excuse was, oh, I just didn't like it. It didn't look good to me. It's like, you never know. There could be one out of those 100 people that really love that, but you kept it from that one person that would have really loved it. That thing probably could have changed people's mind. It could have been the meaning to life. It could have been the one thing that this one person, it could have changed somebody's life, but you held it back. You didn't show anybody. You decided to keep it in that folder and not show it to the world. It could change people's lives. Like Pac, the NFT artist, made a sphere and put it on as an NFT. And now it's like worth a bunch of money. It's a lot of freaking money. Hey, props to the guy. Like, I mean, marketed pretty well and it worked. I mean, that's like a key to just put it out there. You never know. So like, don't ever hold back just because you think it's not up to your standards or up to anybody else's standards. You're only as good as what you think you are. Don't put yourself down just because of that. Just show your work. Just throw it out there. Throw it to the universe. See what happens.
I'll even say, I think two of the ones I liked the least were like one of my most liked posts. So I'm like, really?
Yeah, I've been like, man, this everyday is hot shit. Throw it up there and someone's like, man, this is amazing. Oh, like I'm like, okay. I'm very glad you like it. I've posted some hot garbage before. I'm like, oh shit. I'll post it. Let's see what happens. And got those one people who are like, you know, not my favorite, but you know, cool. And then you got some people who are like, oh, it's just amazing.
This is your best work. You're like, God damn it. Really?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if that'll show up in the MoMA. Glad you like it. Like, yeah. And that's another thing. Like, if you like it, I'm glad you like it. I'm not going to sit here and be like, man, no, you're wrong. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Love the pocket advice, man. Well, I'll give you the floor one last time. Is any NFT drops, anything else you'd like to share?
Man, I guess go check out the Instagram, go check out the YouTube. I mean, I'm pretty much on almost all social media. If you want to go check that out, go check it out. I'm posting there every day. Literally after this, I've got to post the every day. So I'll be posting my everydays on there. If you want to check up on whatever I'm doing, I'll be on there too. So if you have any questions, don't be afraid to email anybody. This should be another pocket advice too. Don't be afraid to message people. Like, go message people. If you have a question, ask. I'm always down to answer. So if you want to email me, message me, I'm down to answer any questions if you want to. So yeah, I'll be on there. I don't have any NFT drops. I still have any NFTs out there. If you want to go check on Foundation, do go check it out.
Awesome. Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. If I didn't reach out to you, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm always down to talk to people. I'm always down to converse and chat and pick people's brains. I mean, I'm down to hear what you have to say about NFTs, probably as much as you have to hear from me.
Definitely, man. Well, such a pleasure for being on. Thank you so much. We'll definitely be staying in touch.
Of course, man. It was awesome. It was an honor.